then obviously you realize the muhabbat that these people who have composed these munajat, Khwaja Sahib Aziz bin Hasan Madzoob Rahmatullah Alayhi, what kind of ta'alluq ma'allah he must have had to compose that kind of munajat. And then you look at all the other Buzrugan-e-Din. One is people who are singers, right? So they compose something, they follow some rules of music, and then they choose a tune also. One Bollywood tune or something, and they adopt it, and they're doing it for money. So that kind of thing leads to music. It leads eventually to music. There's no noor in that kalam. If you find the kalam of the Buzrugan-e-Din, there's noor in that kalam. When you read it, when you listen to this other poetry, it affects you emotionally. Sometimes you listen to poetry, a nice tune and everything, it affects you emotionally. But it doesn't make you reflect. It doesn't, there's no noor that is generated. But the kalam of these Buzrugan-e-Din, even if it is not read with heavy sound effects, and or even a person doesn't have a good voice also, he just reads it, it has an effect on the heart. So the question is that these people, how did they acquire this? These Buzrugan-e-Din, how did they acquire this kind of love for Allah Ta'ala, and what steps can we take, practical steps, and is this love voluntary or involuntary? So this is true taqwa. True taqwa, the more a person adopts taqwa, the more the person immerses himself in amal salihah, he stays away from guna. So the more love for Allah Ta'ala will develop in that person's heart. Now, the muhabbat will show in different ways. Some people, they can compose poetry, so the muhabbat will come out in the poetry. Others, the muhabbat may come out in their writings. Others, the muhabbat may come out in their bayans, etc. Right? But the most important thing is that our life must be in conformity with the Shariat and the Sunnah. That is the most important thing. Right? We mustn't get carried away. Sometimes you see one aspect in one person, and now you haven't got that aspect in your life, then you feel like, now I'm a waste now. Allah Ta'ala gives different people different sifat, right? But all those sifat, they have the fragrance of the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You take our Imam Sahib now, right? Abu Sahib. He don't give no bayan, he don't sing no ash'ar, right? But the khidmat he can make, right? And the khidmat now is for Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem, not doing the amal for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in following the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he'll make khidmat e khalq, right? And he can just go on and on like a machine. You have to tell him to take it easy, but now he's gone to Durban now. Why he's gone to Durban? Because now tomorrow, we all thinking about our Eid now, which family you going this time. He now must go and prepare food for 400 people. Go and sort out the fitra, arrange whatever hampers this, that, to go and give to all. That's his life. His life is like that. When he was in Durban now, the people who children are in his class, they lazy to bring their children, or maybe they don't have transport. He wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, start the round boy. So pick up this one, pick up that one, bring them for his class. So different people is different sifat. There was one person, his wife took ill and she was bedridden. I don't know how many years. He's a wealthy person. I can't remember how many years is. There's 30 years or something, not like a long period of time. For all that time, he went nowhere. He got the best physicians, whatever doctors she required, therapies, whatever, turned the house into a mini clinic that she don't have to go. All the doctors, everybody come there. And he never went nowhere. He just stayed in her khidmat. Now, so different people will do different things that will attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and it shows the person's love for Allah Ta'ala and the person's love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whether it's voluntary, yes. It's not something that's involuntary. Allah Ta'ala can give somebody involuntarily, Allah can give. But it's a voluntary thing. You got to work towards it, right? And make dua to Allah Ta'ala. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the duas. We use those duas and ask Allah Ta'ala for his love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love of those whom by staying close to them, we will get the love of Allah Ta'ala. Apart from lowering the gaze, how do we deal with non-Muslim and non-mahram women on a daily basis that we encounter out of our control? Majority are non-Muslim, they don't even understand parda. Example, female customers, female cashiers at supermarkets, female reps that are on the increase and visit our shops, female nurses, female airport staff, etc., etc. Do we look at them in the face when talking? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned a very beautiful thing to answer this question. He mentioned that if you are driving downhill, right? You're driving downhill and your brakes failed, coming down with the downhill and the brakes failed. Now you got no brakes, right? There are people crossing the road, there are people on the side of the road. You have to take them all in because you don't want to knock anybody. But how will you look at them? It can be the prettiest woman walking, crossing the road or whatever. Will you take in her beauty? You're not going to take in her beauty at that time. Your life is at stake here. Right? The life is at stake. So you will acknowledge her. You will, if somebody have to ask you later on, that lady you passed by, that robot, what she was wearing? Why? What are you talking about? You think I had time to worry about what she was wearing? I was really trying to save my life and not knock anybody and get this vehicle to it. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that must be our interaction. That must be our interaction. Because it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable unless you got a khadim to do your work for you. You got one khadim to do your work for you. So you can just stay at home and you just send the khadim to go do all your errands. But the bichara khadim, he'll be now in the soup, right? He's going to be faced with everything, right? So a person can protect himself like that. Like Hazrat Shaki Matar Sam Rahmatullah Ali. He says, this he said in the latter portion of his life. He said, I didn't forget a second look. I haven't looked at a Namahara woman, even the gaze by mistake. What the Hadith Sharif excuses, that person, he looked by mistake. He said, I didn't even do that. So, when he used to travel, high school, look down, when the aeroplane, don't pick his head up. Don't pick his head. Once, I was on the Cape Town airport with Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saraji sir. Ajib, this Akamiri, I come to this just now, right? I just tell you one thing before that. You see, because we're not so conscious of these things, so we don't think, right? We don't think like how I can make a plan, how I can make a plan. One day, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saraji sir, he graced us by coming home. So we went into the lounge. Right? So I came to sit. So he looked around and then he chose a spot. So I was curious to know like what he looked for and why he chose that place to sit. So then he explained. He said, see, if I sit here, there's no chance of me seeing any woman of the house. Even if they bring one tray, they bring something, whatever, there's no chance of me looking. Where that seat is positioned, you're facing this way, the door is that side, you're looking at the wall. Now we don't even think of that. Now they are so conscious that I mustn't do anything wrong, right? So the akhirat is so real to them. Allah Ta'ala looking at them is so real to them. Right? I mustn't hurt anybody. You know, one day I went to Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Mufti Sahab, he is a busy man. You know, he's always doing something. Now I needed to go and find out a few things. So I went there. He was busy reading some kitab, doing some mutala, some research or something. I went there and after a few moments he closed the kitab. After he closed the kitab, now he turned full. Now that too is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He turned full, he faced. So I told him, I said, Musab, make maaf, like, you know, taking up your time. He said, no. This is khidmat-e-khalq. One is now studying, it's different ibadah. This now is khidmat-e-khalq. This is a very big thing. To serve the creation of Allah Ta'ala. What is it that I can do for you? See, they all the time, to us, if we're busy with something, I don't know about you or me, I'm talking about. I'm busy with something, now this sort of came unannounced here. You mustn't go unannounced. Because it came unannounced, Spanado, now where he came, what he wants now, you know. I'm busy now, I've got something to do, now I work. They look at everything, how I can turn this into a sawab, how I can turn this into a good deed. This morning I went home, so I received a query, right? Person says that he was, you know, not him, he's finding out. Whether it's him or who, but he's finding out. So he said that if a person is employed by a Dini Institute, right? So he is employed to teach, right? Maybe Maktab or whatever his class was, he's employed to teach. They got two imams, right? In the masjid, they got two imams. But they told him that, see, in case of emergency, you may need to fill in. One namaz here, one namaz there. In case of emergency, imamat is not your duty. You're only employed for teaching. So obviously you're not getting any salary for imamat. You're only getting salary for teaching. But if there's an emergency situation, the imam is sick, maybe there's a janazah, what's the meaning of emergency? Something unforeseen, then you fill in. So now, he was doing that. But now the deputy imam left. The deputy imam, he resigned, he left. So now that became the emergency. So now he's making imamate like a full-time imam, right? He wants to know now, ethically, is this correct? I mean, they're not employing me as the imam. They're not paying me anything. I'm not getting any remuneration now as the imam. And it's not, is this regarded as an emergency now? I mean, now that imam left now, time is gone, they're not getting another imam. It just became convenient for them now, I'm just putting it. But he didn't say, in so many words, I'm just explaining. So he said, no, is this ethically correct? I don't want a fatwa, is it ethically correct? I told him, see, you need to ask yourself what you're serving. If you're making khidmat of deen, or you're working. So if you're working, then it's ethically incorrect. They should pay you. But if you're looking for opportunity to make khidmat of deen, then make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that without you even applying for this post, Allah gave you this khidmat of deen. And Allah will look after you. Because what can the trustees do for you? They can't do anything for you. So you make this imamat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. What a big khidmat you're making. And Allah will look after you, He'll take care of you, what you worry about. So he appreciated the advice. One person asked one question. He says that there is a muhtamin, he makes imamah. And they got another one, two imams with him. The muhtamim, when it's his weekend, now you got so many students and everything, now he just put a person to make imam. Right? He needs to go somewhere, eat day, family gathering, this, that, whatever. Just put a person to make imam. Now is this ethically correct now? So I said, see, I can't answer your question. Because if this muhtamim is there in that institute for the last 50 years. So you were not there when he started. You don't know what he did. Right? Now he may have been there for the last 40, 50 years and he built the place up, whatever. So now in his old age, if he's taking some advantage like this, he can overlook it. He earned the stripes. But if the committee got a problem with it, then they should address it to him. But now he's just started here a couple of years ago and he's shirking his responsibility and he's taking a salary for that. Taking a salary for making imamah and then you're shirking your responsibility, then obviously that is wrong. Can't take a salary for something and then you shirk in your responsibility. That is totally incorrect. There's normally two things we like to discuss before the Mu'takifin leave. Is that in itikaf, we don't realize what a wonderful ibadat it is, no? You cut off for this 10 days, 10 nights from the outside world, right? Totally cut off. The person really does the itikaf properly, and totally cut off. And then he's all the time in the house of Allah Ta'ala. So how much of nur being generated, then there's ibadat taking place, his every action of his is ibadat because he is in a state of i'tikaf. he is allowed certain perks which other people are not allowed. He can eat in the masjid. Other people are not allowed to eat in the masjid. He can sleep in the masjid. Other people are not allowed to sleep in the masjid. Okay? So, in this time, definitely if he spends his time correctly, there is a closeness to Allah Ta'ala. There is a closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Then, sometimes there's a lot of programs that take place, a lot of ta'aneem that is given, etc. So, even his ilm now increases, and his amal he wants to increase. A lot of things he'll learn, and he say, you know what, I need to sort that out, I need to sort this out. You're not doing that correctly, you're not doing this correctly, I need to put all these things right. So it is important that we should be thinking in that line. Should be thinking in that line. But at the same time, we've got to realize that our families, they never sit for itikaf. They never sit for itikaf. And sometimes, depending on the situation at home, children, this, that, even though when the father is not there, the children, they will trouble the mother more. Smaller children, they trouble the mother more when the father is not there. Some children, they're very attached to the father, they start playing up, father is not around. Right? So the mother sometimes now, she cuts them extra slack. She allows them certain things that she doesn't normally allow. So they go a little bit spoiled too, you know, while the father is not there. Now the father goes back home, and he got this mindset now, you know, we need to sort this out, we need to sort that out. When you go home, first thing now, you enter there and you see now, hey, all mendi they put in here, they put this here. This is the night of Eid, you're supposed to be making ibadat, and your heart won't die, and then your heart won't grieve, and what people are up to here, you know, ghaflat over here. I remember first time I sit for itikaf with Imam Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Then I came out from the masjid, jumped in the car, and I drove up the road, come to that robot, now that wumpy is across and shops are there and whatever. When I reached there, I wanted to make a U-turn. Then when I spoke to Hazrat, I said, Hazrat, you know what? It's like you came into a jungle here. The masjid is so peaceful, you know, so much of sukoon, so much of this thing. You know, and it came out there, it's like, hey, where I came? What is this place? You know. So we have to go easy. You have to go easy. You can't go home with a 10-pound hammer now and family is, you know, looking forward to your coming home. Children are looking forward to it. The family is going to do what used to make you happy. She doesn't know now that you had a whole change of mindset and everything. Now she don't know. So now she's going to go and do the very same things that she did before, which used to make you happy. And now all of a sudden now, Hazrat ji, yeah, now he goes home there, he made some favorites and all that. He say, bhai, suppose make daad here. Laisal eedu liman akalal. All that. Labisal jadeed and all that. Innama al eedu liman khafa wa liman taaba wa khafa al wa'eed. What you all doing? So, you have to go easy. Remember one incident Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned. That one person had come back from Jamaat. Right? That can happen no more, not condemning the Jamaat. I play fools with him. Every time we talk about Jamaat, I trouble. So, it's not, it can happen, person come from the Khanqa, from Etika, from Jamaat, whatever. So this person returned from Jamaat. Now in the Jamaat, he was gone for 4 months. Now you're reading about the lives of Sahaba, and he was gone India, Pakistan, Bangladesh those days. So now he's, the skills were made in some poor areas, and you know. So he got all this in his mind now. You know, people are suffering, and we, how we living, and you know, become simple now, and like that. And he came home, and they prepared now a feast for him. He's coming after 4 months. All his favorites and everything, they laid it out, you know. He came, he got so upset. He took off with the wife. What you are doing? It's rough, you know. People are suffering around the world. Took off with her. And he stormed out of the house. He went away back to Damascus. As Abdul Haq Magda Sahib says, she is left to drink her tears. She left there now and drink it. Now all this effort she made, right? She made the effort. She's going to make him happy. He used to like all these things. So now she made all his favorites. And now he took off like this and he went to the masjid. Now she's sitting and crying there. So she had taluk with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So she phoned Hazrat. Hazrat advised her, don't worry now. You all eat, the children eat whatever. I check everything, you know, put it away, and inshallah his magaj will come right. So now, after Isha, he came home late. Late night he came home. Now they already, now she's out of the way, now gone in the room. Children are all gone to sleep and everything. Now, bicharo, he's hungry now. Pet kamamla, what you put it? He's hungry now. Now he came late, now he's opening the fridge, the same food is taking, he's warming and eating now. So I must perform now. I create a performance for nothing. So you've got to understand that now they were not exposed to what you were exposed to. So one is to make a, whether it's a mental note or the mental note sometimes is not very good because the mental note, it goes out of them and, you know, gets deleted too. You know? Sometimes it's nice to make a note. Look, I need to sort this out, I need to sort that out, this out, that out. Right? So now when I go home, I need to put strategy into place. Right? Start with the things that are easy on them and hard on me. So normally we start the other way around. What's hard on them and easy on me, that I want to sort out first. No. Sort out first what's hard on me and easy on them. There's not too much for them to do. It's more the changes I have to make. Start off with that. So now they will see that, you know, making some serious changes, man. And the main thing, we put our akhlaq right. The one famous story about a person, he went in Jamaat, you know. And when he returned, he came home and he made salam. The wife, she started crying. This man never made salam when he entered the house. Always came in the house in such a foul mood. We don't know now what to do. Everybody is on eggshells. Don't know what's going to happen now. Where the next explosion is going to take place. And the man came now and he made salam and he's like calm and So now the next time he comes and he says he wants to go in Jamaat, she'll pack his patpos and pack his bag for him and everything and send him. If there's short money at home to say, don't worry, we'll eat brown bread and carry on, you go in Jamaat. Because she's seeing the benefits, right? Seeing the benefits. That this person is, akhlaq is changing, treating us differently. So it's a good investment. He'd rather go. If he goes 40 days, he come back, we got 120 days of peace. It's very good. He'd rather go for his 40 days. You know? But if the person comes back and is more tyrannical, he's still set in his old ways, his mouth is still foul, he's still everything, ghussa is not gone, right? But he wants them to change, like a military sergeant. So now what fayda is there now? For them, where's the fayda for them? Their life is just becoming more and more miserable. So we must make the changes. they must see the beauty of the changes, right? Then they too will want to change. And they see that you are making certain changes, certain things you really loved, your candy crush. All the time you were crushing candies and now you deleted the game from your phone. You used to sit and watch clips. And now you're not doing that thing. You're always on the phone. Now you come home, phone is put one side, you're playing with the children. Now, this man. So now when he will now tell them that, you know what, we're eating on the table and chair, what you'll think when we try and go on the floor? You know, I was sitting for itikaf whole time, I was eating on the floor. It's so nice. Plus it's a sunnah. What you'll think? We try it out. So now they'll be open to it because they're seeing that he is making changes. But now he just comes home. From now, you take all your cloaks, give them in charity, you go into jalbab now. Oh, you don't want to do nothing, you want her to make all the changes. So then that's not going to go down well. It won't go. Although what he's saying is right, but it's not going to go down well. So you've got to go easy, go home, be understanding. I'm telling you, if you now took certain things seriously, each day sometimes you get very cut up. You get very upset. Right? Because now they're all, if it's like that, you know, certain families intermingling and all the things are carrying on. Extravagant things, people hiring chocolate fountains and what and what. Things are happening today. One biscuits, they're ordering one biscuit is 20 rand. So now, when the person sees these things, he can get very, very upset. You've got to have balance. You've got to understand that, look, it's not a 100-meter sprint. This is a marathon. Right? Slowly, slowly, we'll make the changes. But have targets. Don't just leave it. Because then you leave it, then it just becomes like, you sit for itikaf, you go back home, go back to your stories. Next day you sit again, and just make the ibadat, cash in the Laylatul Qadr, and then go back. And there's no changes. It has to be changes. Changes must come about. But the main changes we must make in us first. They will then follow suit. Remember, when I made intention that I don't want to attend any hall functions anymore. So I told Hazrat Mohammed Spatiya Sahib Rahmatullahi, because Hazrat shouldn't attend, right? He shouldn't attend. So I told Hazrat, I said, no, you're always talking about this thing and, you know, making niyat, I don't want to attend anymore. So Hazrat told me, you sure you can see it through? And do it. So I was a bit confused what he meant, you know. So he said, if you're making this intention, then it must be across the board. It can't be that you're making this intention, now with somebody in the wife's family, there you're very firm on your intention. But now your best friend's son's walima, now they say, no, you're not already, yeah, now I have to go. No, it must be across the board, whoever it is. Your closest family, mutawalli of the masjid, or whoever. Right? If you're not going, you're not going. So then, that will be your usul. Right? It won't be now, oh, this fellow, the rich people calling me goes. That one because he's a poor person, then that's why he never goes. Because her family, he doesn't go, his family, then he goes. No. It must be across the board. But then he told me an Ajib thing. He said, you're deciding, isn't it? You're deciding, you know. Don't force this down your family's throat. Don't force it down your family's throat. Because all this time you were going, so to them, there's nothing wrong with it. Because you were going all this time, you were taking them, you were going, you were sitting there nicely. So now all of a sudden you decided to make the change and don't force it down their throat. If they want to go, you take them. You take them. You drop them off there. but you don't go. You drop them off and you don't go. So that happened. That happened one time. We even drove from here, from Pietermaritzburg to Roshni. We went to Roshni. I attended the Nikah. The Wadima, I dropped them off. I sat in the car. Only with the masjid right there, I sit on there. After when you all finish your phone, me, I'll pick you up. Yeah? But then, one day, there was a Wadima in Durban, also in the hall. So I took them and dropped them off. And then I came to, I said, this thing goes around with Hazrat now. From there. So I came here to the masjid. So I was sitting with Hazrat in the room. And now, my phone made noise, you know. So, now you're sitting with Hazrat, you're not going to answer your phone. So he told me, no, check your phone. I checked the phone, they phoning me. So, come pick us up now. I'm thinking, no, I just dropped you off now. I told Hazrat, I said, same as come pick them up. He said, I'll go pick them up. So I went and picked them up. I came in the car. Not going to any hall functions anymore. Yawa, they said there's separate parda, separate facility for women, separate facility for men. The groom walks into the ladies' section with all his friends. Then the people are taking photographs. What kind of separate facilities? Not going anymore. So then they also stopped me. So you have to do things sometimes with hikmat. Okay? With hikmat, you do things and you don't cause problems. Now one is, for example, you were not going. Now your wife also was not going. You two were not going. You were not doing this thing. Now all of a sudden, she wants to go. There you put your foot down. You are not going for this. Now why you want to go start this evil now? There you have to just put your foot down. Now if she throw a tantrum and she get upset and all that, no, you just take it with a pinch of salt now. But there you have to put your foot down. The other thing is where you started that thing. Now to get the person off it, now you got to use some hikmat, use some wisdom. That is one aspect. The other thing is with regards to Eid. With regards to Eid, inshallah, in the Jummah Bayan, we'll read out some malfuzat of some Sahaba radiallahu anhum and some Tabi'een and pious predecessors. Right? You see, with us, unfortunately, our blueprint is the lifestyle of the Kuffar. We don't study the Sunnah so closely. So our blueprint becomes the lifestyle of the Kuffar. So when we hear that our day of celebration is Eid, our celebration, we got our own days of celebration, and that is our two Eids, and the 3 days after Bakrid, after Eid al-Adha. So immediately, the word celebration comes. Celebration comes in there. So what is celebration? So now when we want to unpack what is celebration, we don't go to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is celebration now? We go to Kuffar. Right? because we went to school. In school, we had last day celebration. Last day, I don't know now what. If you have party in those days, last day of school, we have party. So what was party now? Party was, there was no tea. So party was, that day you don't have to wear uniform. You can wear casual clothes. Then, now you can do your hair up and all that. You don't have to look now like a schoolboy. So you can look smart now. In inverted commas, what is regarded as smart by the kuffar. Then the classroom, don't have books and the desks are not in line and everything. Desks are all move one side. Now you got balloons in the classroom, ribbons in the classroom. So now, all different cakes and eats and juices and whatever. So our head now, we think about celebration, it goes there. Then we watched movies. Allah forgive us. We saw how they celebrating Christmas. That fellow is going to meet his illicit beloved Christmas Day, his fiancée, his girlfriend. And now they go, gifts, giving out gifts. The whole families are coming together and all of that. So in our mind, that's how Eid needs to be celebrated now. Call the whole khandan. Everybody must come with gifts. Only we don't have the Christmas tree. We don't have the Christmas tree there. Make shukr for that. Otherwise, in some countries, Arab countries, I didn't hear about anything locally. Allah make it. We don't hear about it. On Christmas Day, they too put in Christmas tree. You know, we got no belief behind it. We just Diwali time we busting crackers. New Year's Day we making fireworks. Christmas Day we took our Christmas tree. Allah forgive us. Allah protect us. So, but the point is, we go and do the very same things. Now you'll get a person, whole of Ramadan Sharif, he kept his beard. You get a lot of people in Ramadan Sharif, they'll grow their beard. Even the Huffaz, right? Because they're reading Taraweeh now, so now they'll keep on small kind of beard. The Hafiz, if you haven't got proper beard, you're not supposed to be on the Musalla. Now you'll get these Ustads, they'll say, oh, but then he'll forget his Quran Sharif. That's his problem. His problem. If he's going to forget his, if he don't love his Quran Sharif that much, that he don't want to grow his beard, so now must we compromise the Musalla because he don't want to grow his beard and he's going to forget his Quran? No, his father should take him, give him a shambocking and teach him. He must grow his beard. And if you don't do that, it's a bit extreme. I don't mean literally, but I mean the father must sort him out and tell him he has to keep his beard. He can't now put pressure on the Imam did not have to give him the musalla because he's not keeping beard. So that person will go and take his beard, shave his beard now. Now the person wants to dress up, same as wear your best clothing. So now we have to go sew new clothing. So you find all the ladies now, they're running to the dressmaker. Today, you must, the tension, pressure is on. The dressmaker never give the dress as yet. The pressure is on. The last day of Ramadan, they're busy with that chakra. Right? Then we start preparing food like there's no tomorrow. So much of preparation, food. You see the ladies from the night before, I don't know what they doing. So much of preparation. This dessert, that cake, this biscuit. And the ladies, they don't listen. You can tell them. You can tell them 100 times. You see, there is no need to do all this. No. You can't get through to them. They have to do all these things because our izzat is at stake. Visitors will come They want to see what was made here now. So, though that's not Eid. That's not, when you talk about the day of Eid, it's not that the whole family must get together. But some families, unfortunately, got no concept of parda. In some families, now you'll get one brother-in-law or one brother, now he's trying to adopt parda. Now the other family, they'll be talking under their breath. You join that hunt over there, you've gone a little bit tipsy. You've gone a little bit off now, you know. They'll be talking there, because this sort of tabo came. You know? He'll come with his stories here, you know. Because now he's like this sore thumb, you know. He's sticking out like a sore thumb. So now the rest of the family, they want to be sab kuch andar maskan andar, everything mixed up, everything. Now, by you as a host, you're going out of your way, you're incurring expense, you're going out of the way to bring this whole family together on the day of Eid for what? For them to come make guna in your house. They're coming to make guna in your house, that's what they're coming to do. They don't want to listen. This morning I was answering one email. The lady is saying that now we're getting old. We never knew. Now we learned. Now I'm trying to explain to the family that look, now we need to create some. They're fighting. So why they don't want to have this separate? If you say that, look here, men will eat separately that side, women will eat separately this side. They're not going to give the men anything less what they're giving the women. Exactly what food they're giving the women, they're going to put for the men. Exactly what food they're putting for the men, they're going to put for the women. Why there's a protest? Why there's a protest? Because that Ahmad Bhai, he wants to see Sara Ben. The chore is inside, whether you like it or not. He wants to see that sister-in-law, how she's dolled up in the. He wants to see the Mendi. The snake is inside. Otherwise, what's the problem? If you say that the men separate, women separate. And some places you will make it separate. That fellow must go there by the ladies. That lady must go there by the men. You'll get those couple. They just don't understand barriers and boundaries and all that. They will make sure they go. So if your family is like that, then why you must go out of the way to put them all together? To come and make one ijtimai guna. For what? Rather don't do it. Go and visit everybody individually and maintain the parda. But people don't want to hear things like this. If you talk like this, even the old people in your own family, oh, the muhabbat will be lost. Muhabbat. What muhabbat? Muhabbat in guna, that muhabbat? Is that a muhabbat that is liked by Allah Pa? I remember when the World Cup took place here in South Africa, so one person, he told me, he said, Vamana, you can say what you want, you know, but this World Cup, it brought the country together. Whole country was united. I'm saying, why? What are you talking now? Yeah. Brought the country together on what? United on what? So this is the problem, that we look into the life of the kuffar. That becomes our blueprint. Then whatever we're doing, when it conforms with that, it looks right. When it conforms with that, it looks right. Check up, in the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there was something like this, that now all the family from Medina Munawwara, from Jeddah, here, from there, they were all getting together by one house, all the ladies donning up and performing and everything. Was there something like that? I'm not saying you mustn't meet your family, you mustn't feed. Inshallah, in the Jummah, we'll read one, two of those malfuzas. There's one malfuz there, this buzur, he's eating dry bread. One beggar comes to the door. He goes, he gives the beggar something. One person who was there is curious to know what he gave the beggar. So he goes behind the beggar. Says, what did he give? He gave him a gold coin. He used to be eating dry bread. He gave him a gold coin. The beggar. Our celebration is not a party. This is where we go off a little bit. When we talk about Eid, is our day of celebration. Celebration in Islam doesn't equal to party. You put your party costume on, party clothes on, and go have a good time. No, that's not celebration in Islam. Our celebration, on the day of Eid, we recite takbir excessively. On the day of Eid, instead of gathering for 5 namazes, we gather for 6 namazes. We become even more charitable. Our akhlaq becomes even better. Then definitely the person will spend time with his family, etc. But where it says that now you have to bring the whole khandan together, and more especially when the family people, they are not adhering to the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So now, what you're doing? You're putting yourself in a predicament. You're making them a cause of guna for so many people. Because they're not going to respect the laws of parda. They're not even going to come dressed appropriately. What is the meaning of dressing appropriately? That too they don't understand. What is meant by dressing appropriately? They don't understand. So more guna takes place. So we got to understand that the day of Eid is not a day of celebration like how the kuffar celebrate. That's not what it means. If anything, on the day of Eid, the shan of Islam must be shown. On the day of Eid, Allah Ta'ala must be glorified more. On the day of Eid, we must turn to Allah Pak more. Then definitely you eat well. You know, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib, he explains this thing a lot of times when it comes to Ashura. He says that the people in the past, right, they ate very simple. Right, very, very simple. Now, if you take our own people in India now, our forefathers, right, in India, what was their food? They ate dars, teri khichdi. They hardly ate meat. When a visitor came, now they went and slaughtered one chicken, one fowl to make chicken curry. Chicken curry was like a royal meal. If you went to visit your family in the village, you would have experienced this thing. You went to visit the family in the village. Now which house you're having lunch by? Right? Now they'll go slaughter the chicken. Now that's like a big meal, they made chicken curry. Right? So people never ate like, delicacies and things like that. You know, they eat simple food. So now came to Ashura, so now you made a slightly better meal. Alright, today we'll have some fruits, maybe we'll make one faluda, we'll eat ghost today instead of having dar. So that's how the man spent on his family. Now, what you going to do when that became your staple diet? Every second day you're eating one ice cream. Couple times a week you're having one dessert. Right? You're eating meat every day. Sometime on a dastarkhan you got chicken, you got steak, you got fish, you got mutton. Now come Ashura, you say, I'm going to cook something special. Now what special are you going to make now? Which special are you going to make? So now people start thinking up. No, alright, let's order from that restaurant now. Bring that. Now let's go prawns now. Right, that's now the one step higher now. No, we don't eat prawns every day, so now let's bring the prawns. Right? And now the normal ice cream is no good. Now we must go buy that small one like this that costs the size of that one. Go buy that one. So we get involved in israf. We don't get involved in spending a little bit more on the family. We get involved in israf. Now you take the woman folk, they're going to go to the dressmaker and sew their outfits. How many of them can stand in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that outfit? How many of those women can go stand in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that outfit? So this is the thing that our compass is totally off. The person, when they're going to sew that clothes, or they're going to buy the new clothes for the children or whatever, they think they're making an ibadah. It's Eid, right? You must spend on your family. You must get new clothes for the children. You must Eid day. You must. But now, what you buy? Does that conform? Is Allah going to be happy with that? And now you're going to dress like this. Put all your mehndis and makeups and high heels and perfumes and jewelries, and then you're going to go parade in front of the men. Then they're going to come, hey, how was your itikaf? Now, so we really sometimes look at it, we're totally off. Totally off. All these things, they can't be sorted out in one day. Right? But you've got to make an effort. You've got to make an effort. Conscientizing needs to take place. You've got to speak about these things. You know, and slowly, changes need to come about. One is what's making our nafs happy. An old family came on. It is making us happy. But is it making Allah Ta'ala happy? Will we be comfortable inviting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam there for that meal? If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, can we call him there? Can't call him. And then we run out of ideas because we did everything, right? But now we have to come up with something. So now you can't just eat a watermelon now. You must shape the watermelon into something else. You can't just eat the chocolate. You must have a chocolate fountain. You can't just... Now, the other day I told you, somebody sent me that ad. Juma, 6 biscuits, choc chip cookies, filled with barfi. You know, this is the first now. I didn't come across this one. 6 biscuits, if I remember correctly, 75 rand. 6 biscuits. And then we sit here and say, Palestine, huzzah, Palestine. And 6 biscuits, 75 rand, you pay for 6 biscuits. The person must be selling it. If they advertise they're making it, they might be selling it. So now I need to do something different for the Eid. Allah Ta'ala give us realization. Allah Ta'ala, you know, truly make us do that, make Allah happy. Make Allah Ta'ala happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be happy. Our lives must come more and more closer to the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Oh, maaf. Hey, lucky you. We didn't finish that one. Jeez, I was telling you about Mufti Saab. So, my return flight was the return flight, and we happened to be on the same flight with Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab got off the car. Right? It was a bit windy. He was wearing a jacket with the hood, no, like a hat. He took that thing, he brought it over his eyes. Right? He pulled that hood down. He got Uncle Asghar Mita, Mona Ismail Bayat. I remember the two of them, there were other two people. They surrounded him. Two in the front, two in the back. He's walking in the middle. He don't pick his head up. Cap is down. He's looking down. And these four people, they're walking on his side. And he walked like that. How careful they are. You know, we just take it, care. No, you can't help it now. Women are everywhere. And what you going to do now? You have to talk to them. You know, we think like that. But look at these Akavinin, what measures they take. To the world, they look stupid. Somebody sees them, man, mad, walking like this. But to Allah Ta'ala, shining like a star. Allah Ta'ala is looking at this, look at this one now. Man. This is my beloved. Look at him. He don't want to mess his eyes for me. In my command, how he's complying in the middle of the sea of guna. You know what Cape Town Airport is like? In the sea of guna, how he's still trying to maintain his taqwa. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. You know, Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib, we don't travel by plane. If he has to come from Port Elizabeth to Dadiyar, he'll drive. He says, you sit in the plane, they serve alcohol there, they play music there. Then you got female air hostesses there. Why must you voluntarily put yourself in that environment? I can drive in my car. I'm not exposed to all these things. Obviously, certain suffer you can't drive. Then out of zarurat, out of necessity, you do it. Now we say, why? You're traveling alone, it's cheaper to fly today. It's true. If you're traveling alone, it's cheaper to fly. But we just look at what's more convenient for us, what's cheaper for us. They're looking at what's better for my deen. Which situation I can make more hifazat of my deen. This is how we have to start looking. In our own little way, slowly, right? Start looking like this. How can I make hifazat of my deen? Just see now, I was telling you all about that family, right? The daughter is in Iddat. So the parents, now, to keep the daughter's heart now, the parents took a decision that, see, we won't go anywhere. So we can do it for the daughter's heart. We can't do it for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart. We can't do it to make Allah Pak happy. If I know that that family gathering, sab kuch andar maskar andar, everything goes there. Right? Now, how come I'm still doing it? How come I'm screaming? I got the authority to make my own decision. I can say I'm not feeling well. Ibrahim Ali Salam said he's not feeling well. I can say I'm not feeling well. Mark, we won't make it. They all got the bug. They got Allah's love bug. You want to tell them what bug you got. But it mustn't be nafsani. Because the dawah this year is by that brother knows how he got a better BMW than mine. Me, I'm always in competition with that brother-in-law. So I'm not going by him. I don't like him. So that's why I'm using deen for my nafs. Allah Pak can take me to task. Mustn't be like that. It must be sincere. It must be sincerity. That really I want to protect my iman. Really I want to protect my deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. We've got a few minutes left for the time when the bayan will start. Bayan will start 10 past. This was a good day, itikaf. We've got 2 jumas in here. 10 past will be bayan and then half past namaz, inshaAllah. SubhanAllah.